to C3 Pathers. We're so glad you jumped on to our YouTube channel. We really believe that you'll have life. Jesus said life in all of its fullness will be yours. And that means you'll be loved, included, free, and equipped. So enjoy this message and we'll catch you afterwards. God bless.
Awesome. I'm going to invite you now to the stage, Mel, and you can take over.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. Great to be here. Great to see you. Thank you, Laura. Great playing. Why don't we thank the band, the worship band, who led us into God's presence so wonderfully. It's great being here. We love being here. We missed out on coming. Face ID. Come on. Don't you love Face ID? Too far away. You're too far away. We missed out on coming last year due to COVID, but we're here this year and we are very blessed to be here. We love coming to Bathurst. What a great place that you live. It really is a beautiful region, and we absolutely love your pastors who are arguing this morning, obviously, because they're sitting apart. I'm joking. Who are wonderful people, and it's our delight to connect with them every month and to hang out with them when we come here and to hang out with them when they come over to Canberra to our gatherings as an area. So you guys are blessed. Yes, yes you are. And we had a wonderful time last night with your young adults, so that was also fun. How exciting is what you're doing at the moment? Curious, The Return, and you're in that series, and I really love what you are doing in this series. And I commend your incredible leaders for their vision for this region, and that it includes, obviously, seeing people return and also people coming for the first time to Christ. It's why we're here. It really is why we're here. So over the last 3 weeks, you have been looking at the book of Isaiah, as Jeff said this morning, and the children of Israel were in captivity and how God was returning them, and then aligning it to people in your region returning to God. So what I want to do is pray as we start. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us, that you have been here with us this whole service, that your presence has been so rich. And I pray, God, Lord, we don't need to hear from me. We need to hear from you. And so I surrender to you, God. Let the words that come out of my mouth be from you. And may, Lord, our hearts be open, Lord, to all that you have to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I was praying into this message during the week, the first scripture that came to me was this scripture from Isaiah, which says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." Who knows that it's been looking pretty dark over the last couple of years on the earth? It has, hasn't it? "But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Nations, or even people in this region, will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Raise your eyes all around and see. They all gather together," maybe on the Friday, the 8th of August, "and they come to you." That's what it says. "They gather together, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar and your daughters will be carried on the hip." Now, this passage of scripture obviously has historical relevance, but it is also a powerful picture of the church. It's a powerful picture of why we are here. It's a picture of the church as a whole, as well as a picture of what God calls you and I to individually. And as you are praying over the next little while, as you are preparing, and you've just, these guys have just talked about that, what you're preparing, and as you are inviting, please understand that God wants you to arise and shine, for your light has come. Arise and shine, for your light has come. You are the light of Christ in this region. You don't have to hype yourself up to that, into that. You don't have to talk yourself into that. You just are. You can stand tall. In fact, God wants you to stand tall because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And I'm acutely aware that even as I say those words, some of you are switching off saying, well, she can't mean me. I've got nothing to offer. I'm actually a bit busy. I'm not smart enough. You know, they might ask me a question and I won't know what to say, or I haven't known God for long enough. I'm too afraid. I'm weak. Quite frankly, I just don't want to. But I want to challenge you today. God is speaking and he is saying, arise and shine, for your light has come. Stand up. You are strong. You have a mandate to carry the light of Christ into this community. And the glory of God is all over you. When you walk into a place, you take God with you. I remember having an interview for a job many, many years ago. And the woman said to me, there is something different about you. It's like you shine. And I ended up getting the job. And over the time, I ended up saying to her, well, it's not me. It's Christ in me. And that's the same for all of us. God's glory, God's light, it is on us. And so tomorrow you're starting the 10-day fast and praying into people returning to Christ, leading into your open night. So as your wonderful leaders have said, I want to encourage you as well, be involved in some way. As they've said, everyone can be involved in some way. Everyone can do something. And you know, as everyone does something, that's how things happen in church. Paul talked about our building, and you know, as everyone has given something, we have raised a significant amount of money. As every one of you pray, as every one of you tick one of those boxes, you're going to make a huge impact in this region. So get involved in some way, because there is a spiritual battle that ensues over every person's eternal destiny. There is no doubt about it. Matthew 6 is a wonderful chapter. It's a great chapter. If you're feeling anxious or worried, it's a great chapter to read because it tells us not to be anxious. You know that one, the cure for anxiety. It finishes with that great verse that says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. But you know, it also talks about three weapons of mass destruction in the spiritual realm. Three: giving, praying, and fasting. They are three spiritual disciplines and they are weapons of mass destruction in the spiritual realm. All three of them are so powerful. And I can tell you that there is a battle over each of them. They aren't getting my money. I mean, have you seen the interest rates? I mean, have you gone and filled up your car with petrol? Our son was so annoyed the other day. He said, I had to fill up my car and it cost me. Because he's 26 and he's only ever had petrol that's a lot cheaper. But giving is a spiritual weapon of mass destruction. Prayer is. Who knows when you go to pray that there, you think of all the other things that you could be doing. Anyone? well, I could be doing the washing, or I could be, you know, doing something that I just wouldn't even want to do. But that's what comes into my mind. Oh, and oh, I can't fast. No, I can't fast. So Jesus talks in Matthew 6 and he says, when you fast. He doesn't say if you fast. He says, when you fast. When you fast, do not look somber. I find that hard. As the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their face to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head. Don't know what that means, but I'm not doing that. Because my hair will look terrible. And wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. For your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. For each and every one of these powerful weapons of mass destruction in the spirit realm, Jesus says, when you do them, don't make a show of the fact that you're doing them. He assumes we will give, he assumes we will pray, he assumes we will fast. But he says, do them without making a production out of it. But remember, as you do those things in secret, he promises he will reward us. Because we serve a God who sees what we do in secret and he says, I won't keep it a secret. He says, what you do in secret in your private discipline is going to release public rewards into your life and into the lives of others because of your sacrifice. Fasting is, well, it can be serious business. And when we fast, I mean, these days I have a bit of fruit juice, but when I was younger, I used to have just water. And of course, you guys, your lovely pastors have told you how you're going, you know, you guys get to choose. But for me, when I fast, I don't eat. And I have to psych myself up into it before I do it. I find it difficult. I get cranky. I get hangry. Is that what it's called? I don't sleep well. My brain stops functioning. It's a wrestling match. And I don't like how hard it is physically, but I do love the fruit of fasting. And when we fast, we need to remember that though, even though fasting is challenging, God sees what we're doing. And when we do it, there is a great outcome on the other side. There's this American tribe that has a rite of passage for young men who want to become warriors, for young men who want to fight with other warriors. And to be able to fight, they have to pass a test. And the chief speaks to each of the young men and he says, you've got to climb that mountain over there. And it's a very steep mountain and it's a very hard mountain. It's a grueling mountain. It's a challenging climb. And many of the young men would start and they'd get halfway and they'd give up. And some of them would claim to get to the top, but they actually didn't do it. And some of them would get halfway and they'd go to the chief and they'd say, yeah, yeah, we did it. And he would say, well, tell me, because he had it, he knew, he could tell whether they got there or not. He'd say, well, what did you see when you got to the top of the mountain? And if they had the right answer, he knew that they'd made it to the summit. And he said, the ones who made it to the top would all say this. They would say, I saw something I'd never seen before. I saw the sea, I saw the ocean. And you know, that's what fasting is like. It's like climbing a mountain and at times it gets quite difficult and your mind might try to tell you to stop or try to talk you out of it and say, oh, this is not necessary, just I need food. This is extreme. But, you know, it's actually a good thing for us for a season to say, God, I so want to see people in my region return to you. I so want to see people in my region come to Christ. I so want to see people in my family come to know you. I so want to order my steps. I so want to leave a legacy of something that will outlast me. I so want to bring glory to your name. I want to see you break through in what is that impossible situation that I am going to fast and pray. When Paul and I got married, we had a situation that we knew we needed God's intervention in our world. And we tried everything we could do to make it, you know, to fix it. Thank you, darling. Always there with a good word when I need you. And it was like about a month into our marriage, we did a 3-day fast. And we didn't even specifically ask God to deal with that issue during the 3-day fast. But God did something about that situation during the 3-day fast, and by the end of the 3-day fast, it had been dealt with. Fasting has power with it. It is a weapon of mass destruction in the spiritual world. Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, and the Bible says he was hungry. Now, that might be an understatement, but he gets it. That's my point. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. So the Holy Spirit wanted him to go there. But something happened and changed while he was there. It says that he came out of the fast filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:14, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly throughout the whole region. Now you're believing as you pray and fast that reports of Jesus will spread quickly throughout this whole region. There's a purpose to your fast. Fasting brings an increase of the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want more of the power of the Holy Spirit in our churches and more of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, don't we? So as you fast together over the next 10 days, you will return from your fast in the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. You've never seen the things that God wants to show you at the top of that summit fasting mountain. There are things you've never seen, things you've possibly never even imagined that he wants to talk to you about during your fast. Answers are waiting in his presence. So who will go up? Who will say, yeah, I'm in, I'm going to do this? Revelation 4:1 says, the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here and I will show you what must happen after this. So who will come up? Who will do? Who will say, yeah, I'm in, I'm going to do this? That scripture says, come up here and I will show you what must happen after this. You know, I think we've had a lot of this over the last 2 years. This being COVID and anxiety and fear and, you know, people leaving the church. But, you know, God has a plan. And he wants to show you what must happen after this. All of that stuff, God has a plan. And he wants to show all of us. But he says, come up here and let me show you. Who will turn off the flesh and say, I'm coming after you, God, with all my heart? Because that's what fasting does. It's actually a very powerful discipline. 1 Corinthians 3 says this, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. For you are still being controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another, quarreling with each other. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like the world? See, this passage of scripture is talking to the church. It's not talking to non-believers, it's talking to Christians. And Paul is saying, don't be a fleshly Christian. Fleshly Christians just do whatever feels good. And let's face it, it's the catch cry of the world we live in today. It feels good. If we only do what our flesh and our soul want us to do, we will never experience the spiritual power and live in the spiritual reality of what God wants for us and what He has created us for. Fasting, by definition, is denying our flesh. It's making our flesh the servant and our spirit the master. And, you know, as a Christian, that's how I want to live. I don't always do it that well, but it's the way to live. It's, as Christians, we want to be free, and free means that we don't have to, like we're free from addiction. Yeah? Yeah. Fasting helps with that because it denies the flesh. So fasting does a couple of things. It cleanses us. We can lose our fire for God. We can lose our hunger for Him. We can lose our passion for Him. We can fill those spaces inside us with other things that are not necessarily bad things. Have you ever been around a smoker or been around a bonfire and you walk away and the smoke gets on you, right? It's in your hair, it's on your clothes, and you have to get it off. Fasting cleanses us. We are in the world but not of the world. Romans 12 tells us to not copy the customs of this world. And fasting cleanses us. That's what it showers us. God speaks to us. He changes our perspective. He changes our patterns of thinking. Fasting helps us to hear God. I always find at the end of a fast that I'm tuned in more to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because God is always speaking, but I'm not always listening. It's like when someone's talking to you. Like my husband might be talking to me. I'm always tuned into what he says. He's always tuned into what I say. Isn't that true, married couples? I was driving to the coast one time and I was listening to an audio book and I lost reception, as you do when you drive to the coast. And the guy was still speaking. I just couldn't hear him. Because the reception wasn't good enough. But fasting helps us to tune in. So fasting cleanses us, fasting helps us hear God, and fasting brings breakthroughs and miracles. I've already talked about one miracle that we've had through fasting, but there are others. Changes the way I think, pulls down strongholds. Freedom has come to my life. We need some musos to come up as I finish. As you begin to fast tomorrow, you are fasting into people coming to Christ. You're fasting into the return. You're fasting into that curiosity being awakened, into the people that you want to invite. I'm sure that there are people that you have on your mind that even the Holy Spirit is putting on your mind and saying, that is the one I want you to invite. And as you're fasting, you are just saying, God, please keep working on them. God, please just chip away at the things that need to be chipped away at. God, please show them your love. God, please help me to be the light that you have made me. Please help me to shine it. Please, you know, these are the things that you're doing during this fast. And God, you know, God wants to answer all of those prayers. He really does. And so what you're embarking on is incredibly powerful. It's incredibly powerful. There's always more with God. He has such a brilliant plan for this church, for this region, for your life. You know, there may be other things, just like Paul and I went into that 3-day fast not long after we got married, and we didn't even ask God to deal with that thing that we needed dealt with. As you're fasting over the next two weeks, 10 days, some of you have things in your world that you need God to deal with. It might be a breakthrough, it might be a relationship. You know, Jeff talked about those things a little today when he landed the worship. I really believe God wants to do some powerful things in your personal world as well as in this church and in what you're doing with this whole Curious, the return. Because when I started the message, I talked from Matthew 6 where it says that as you do this, God will reward you. There are rewards that come to your life and God wants to bless you. So I just really do want to encourage you. Don't step back and say, oh, I can't do it. You might only be able to do, you know, you might not be right at the extreme, but you can do something. And God will honor that because that's who He is. That's what He does. So pray, prepare, invite, fast. I do want to pray. I'm going to do two things, but the first thing I want to do is just pray over you and for you people who are online with us as well. Because I do believe that God wants you to arise and shine, for your light has come. And some of you just don't feel equipped. You don't feel... But I know that there are people that you are going to come into contact with who need to be here. Obviously, we believe that everyone needs to be here, but there are specific people as you arise and shine. Lord Jesus, I want to pray for every person who is here in this place and who is with us online today. Because you created them, Lord, and they have a story and you have done things in their world and other people need to hear what you have done. And Lord, I pray, God, for them. I pray for your anointing. I pray that the glory of the Lord would rise upon them. Lord, I stand against, Lord, fear, Lord, intimidation. Father, I stand against that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and I pray for your amazing presence and glory to arise upon every person in this church. Lord, that your glory would be seen upon them. Lord, that people would come to you through what you have put on them. Thank you, Father. Thank you for newness, Lord. Thank you for life. Thank you for your power. You are so good, Lord. You are so good. Holy Spirit, lift their heads. For those who don't believe they can do it, show them, God, what you have done, what you have given them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And the last thing I want to do before I finish is, you might be here today and, you know, that first step of actually choosing to follow Christ, of asking Him to come into your heart, of saying, oh God, I want to live for you. I want to have a relationship with you. You might be here with us and you've never done that, or you're with us online today and you've not done that. While everyone closes their eyes, I just want to give you an opportunity. Or maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ this morning. You've walked away and the return is actually you. It's not out there in the community. It's you here in this room today. If that's you, what I'd love you to do is just raise your hand. Was that a hand? I'm not sure. Yes, that's awesome. Thank you. You can put that down. Thank you, Father. Is there anyone else here who would like to do that? Okay. What I would love us to do is to pray a prayer, all of us together in this room, to join this gentleman who's responded. I would love us to pray a prayer together out loud. And if you'd like to join us, that would be amazing. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth, for dying for my sin. Forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart. I choose to live for you. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Amen.
Hey, thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can download our church app to keep up to date with what's going on. And of course, if you're in the Bathurst area, we'd love you to pop in and say hello.
Wonderful. See you soon.